Living in this world dulls our senses. A lot of times we lack awareness, although this morning would not be one of those times. We either lack awareness or we're aware of our lack, or we're in denial. I wonder what our condition really is. Are we striving to make something happen, change the world, change ourselves? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there. What do we really need? Well, let's turn over to John 6. And we're going to start at 28. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." It's so simple. As we believe, we're aligned with his purposes. Our walls come down. He can speak to us. He can heal our woundedness. Believing is the fertile soil that produces the hundredfold crop. There's no work to be done. If we're not believing him, we're not believing him if we're resisting people and resisting situations. There's a lot of stuff that happens to us that isn't the will of God. But God doesn't waste it. See, you know, everybody's an agent of free will, right? So somebody could hurt you, and that's not God's will that you're hurt. No way. But God's going to use it. In his economy, nothing is wasted. There is tools to train us. You remember in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So these situations and people that trouble us, what's our response? Roll over and get beaten, or rise above it in thanksgiving? You know, our prayers sometimes are a window to what's inside. You know, you listen, hear various people pray, or you listen to yourself, and you can kind of figure out what's beneath the surface. There's a lot of begging and wishing and wanting going on. And I understand that, but maybe we should just listen. Maybe our prayer is we should get in a humble position and listen to him. See what he's got to say. It's so easy to focus on our physical needs, you know, like I need money or whatever. But I figured out this week that I really don't need money. I just need him. You know, my car needs money. My mortgage needs money. My refrigerator needs money. But I need him. Because those really aren't my needs. That's something that makes me comfortable, but it's not my need. My real need is to be exposed to his glory. You notice how sometimes a personal agenda can be cloaked in a religious zeal. Have you ever seen that before? and you know, if you get a group together that's big enough, a group or a denomination, they can use their collective might to accomplish their goal. You really don't need God for that. But we don't want to work that way, do we? We want his agenda for each one of us. And what is that? It's individual for every single person here. Everyone here is a gift. It's so amazing that everyone here that you see is a gift to humanity and a gift to the Father. Let's flip over to John 14 if we could. In 26, I like how Jesus says, well, we'll start at 25. All this I've spoken to you while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We know that we're changed by the living Word of God. There's no striving to change here. Because Jesus said, the Counselor will speak to you. The Counselor will reveal to you everything I've said. It's so simple. We need exposure to him. Hear his living word. Can we do that on a daily basis? Yes. Can we do it on an hourly basis? Yes. Can we be continually plugged in where we're hearing him? I think so. I like what Jesus said. It's over in John 12:49. You can look at this. He said, I only say what I hear the Father saying, and I say it the way I hear him saying it. That is so powerful to me, because it's, you know, it's one thing to try and change somebody else by speaking some word to them. But to speak it the way that the Father is saying it is the quality. Otherwise, you know, the word can kill. You know, the letter kills, but the word gives life. That's how careful Jesus was in the way he said everything. I know we all want that. You know, Hebrews 10 says that we're perfect and we're being made holy. Or we're perfect, but we're being sanctified, some of the translations read. So our true self is already there. We got to watch the brutal part of being sanctified on a daily basis. But it's so wonderful that we're already perfect in him, our true nature. You remember when Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Well, that's in the same chapter. That's at verse 12. You ever start thinking, what would be greater than what he did? I mean, he raised people from the dead. He could speak a word and people would be healed. He could stick mud in their eye and they'd see. I don't think the greater works are going to be accomplished by us going out and trying to do something. You know, like it's been talked about recently about healing. If our agenda is to wake up in the morning and go out and heal somebody, that's striving. All these works that Jesus did, he didn't set out to do some great thing. It was just life. He happened upon life. And he ran into somebody and his life flowed out to them. And that was the change. There was no effort. There was no grandstanding. He wasn't a showman. Quite the opposite, I think. Because when it got really intense, he slipped away. He didn't want a big fanfare. If we're listening to him, we're gonna be aware of what he's saying when we run into somebody. And we're just gonna speak it because it's who we are. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. It just flows out and changes happen. It's so simple. Everything's simple. Now look back at John 14, 6. We'll start at 5. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, I like what Philip says. I think we're kind of saddled with this same perception in a lot of cases, or awareness. Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Jesus just said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. But sometimes we still don't feel like we're there. See, that's the thing we got to shake. If we know who we are by listening to him, then I don't think we're going to have this contradiction here. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said. It's beautiful. So we're allowing his life and his living waters to flow through us, to remove the areas of resistance, expose our wounded areas, and rout out the unbelief, the pockets of unbelief. I like how when Jesus was resurrected, his wounds were still there. They weren't covered up, they weren't denied, but they made a bridge to those wounded disciples. And you can expose any hurt you have to him. Don't cover it up. Don't let it abscess. You know how an abscess works? It just starts eating away the flesh toward the inside. It poisons. You know, it gets in your blood and it affects everything. And our God is so tender. We can't afford to carry those wounds any longer. You know, I got this imaginary backpack on, and it feels like it's full of heavy rocks. And this week, I reached in, I threw some out to you all, and you know what came out? Feathers. When we're carrying those things that feel like heavy rocks, it's such a load. But they're not a load when we give them to him. We share them with the brethren. That's why we have each other. Yeah, it's hard exposing yourself. But we expose ourselves whether we want to or not. You know, the spiritual man can see. He can see what's in somebody's heart. Especially if God says, look at your brother. This is where you need to carry them. Let's turn back to the Psalms. And that'd be Psalm 95. I saw something really cool here. And this is what's been coming recently, but it kind of sews it all together. I don't want to read the whole thing to you, but the first part is, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. So that's our posture with the Lord. And 6 says, let us bow down and worship. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. Now look at the end of 7 and the beginning of 8. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And then he goes in and he talks about rest. Rest. You know how the word care, like we all have cares and concerns, right? Care and carry seem like they're from the same root word, right? Let's cast the cares away and not carry them. It doesn't impress him. He just wants us to worship in his presence. The beautiful thing is we're always in his presence, whether we feel it or not. You know, Jesus said, I am in you and you're in me and the Father is in me. Everything of the Father is in me and you're in me. What a great position. What a great position we have. We don't need to worry about a thing or carry any burdens around. So we express his life 24 hours. 7/24 is what they say, right? 24/7? Oh, okay. I figured I'd mess that up. Okay. I'm humbled. Thank you.
Feel the word has had a very powerful